guarding our state's underwater preserves. This is the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams. More than three centuries of thriving marine commerce and those notorious storms in the Great Lakes have given Michigan a wealth of historic shipwrecks. There are nearly 1,000 on the bottomlands of the state's 13 designated underwater preserves alone. But Michigan's mostly volunteer system of protecting the shipwrecks is showing signs of trouble. Michigan Radio's Tracy Samilton explains.
Here's a scenario that makes underwater preserve expert Ron Bloomfield wince. Let's say a diver comes to Michigan specifically to explore a wreck in remote Lake Superior. He knows the lake's cold, clear waters have left the wooden ship in pristine condition. He charters a boat to take him out.
And he gets to the spot and can't find a buoy. That's a really bad thing to have happen, because then likely he's going to throw an anchor over the side and they're going to hook into the wreck, and that can just cause all kinds of damage.
This kind of thing is happening too often now, says Bloomfield. He's a past president of the nonprofit Michigan Underwater Preserve Council. Managing the preserves is officially the job of the State Department of Natural Resources. But Bloomfield says they don't have the money to assign enough staff to the preserves. So most of the work falls on volunteers. Unfortunately, the core of volunteers assigned to the preserves is shrinking. Younger folk aren't moving in to replace volunteers who've gotten too old to do the work. And there's no state funding to reimburse volunteers for gasoline, buoys, and other equipment.
There are people that have got out of it because they were having to put too much of their own money out of pocket.
But Bloomfield says interest in exploring shipwrecks is only increasing, especially among kayakers. He says the state should consider reimbursing volunteers for their time and expenses and boosting the budget of the Department of Natural Resources for underwater preserve management. For the Environment Report, I'm Tracy Samilton.
This is the Environment Report. Genetics might give us clues to how well birds can adapt to climate change. A new study in the journal Science finds there are genetic differences in yellow warblers that live in different parts of the U.S. and Canada. And some of those populations seem to be more genetically vulnerable to climate change than others.
So we did some genome sequencing, and we found a bunch of genes who seem to be associated with whether yellow warblers lived in warmer or drier or hotter or colder areas.
Rachel Bay is the lead author of the study at the University of California, Davis. She spoke with us by Skype.
What we then did was to use climate projections to see whether these yellow warbler populations would be able to adapt to future climate change. So we were actually able to map how much yellow warbler populations across the U.S. would need to adapt to future climate change.
Bay says in most places in their genome, yellow warblers that live in different regions of the country are the same.
But in some places, you'll have differences. And what we're looking for are differences that are related to climate.
She says they found yellow warblers seem to be the most sensitive to changes in precipitation. So warblers that spend their summers in certain areas of the country could have a harder time adapting.
We saw this sort of strip of vulnerability in the Rocky Mountains. That was the most vulnerable part of the country. And then we saw some sort of patchy vulnerability both on the west and east coast, while the middle of the country seemed to be much less vulnerable.
Bay says she hopes this approach could give wildlife managers more specific information to protect the most vulnerable species. That's the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams.